Goals that are impacting your life in a positive way and helping you to receive the fullness of God's grace. Now, I just want to do a little mini review, stay in Mark chapter 1, and I want to share with you what we've covered so far. In these lessons, this is lesson number 5, we have seen, number 1, that faith is a law. In other words, it is a principle that governs. And in the first lesson, I taught about a Syrian woman whose daughter was tormented with a devil. She was so sick, she was at the point of death. And although she didn't qualify for God's deliverance under the law of Moses, she put another law into operation, the law of faith. And she received deliverance for her daughter. So faith is a law, a principle that governs. Number 2, we've seen that faith is the door through which we receive from God. Acts 14, 27, Paul rehearsed before the Jewish brethren how that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And we looked at the man found in the scripture who was paralyzed, and he had 4 friends who took him to a meeting where there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by in Luke chapter 5. And although they couldn't get through the physical door to get in front of Jesus, they entered through the door of faith and he got healed. And the interesting thing is, the guys who made it through the physical door didn't receive because they got caught up in a theological debate. That passage says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But one man who couldn't get through the physical door entered through the door of faith and received his healing. So we've seen faith is a law. Faith is the door. And we've seen, when we talked about blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, when he cried out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus literally stopped and asked them to call for him to come over. In other words, his faith got God's attention. Here's something you need to remember. Faith will always get God's attention. And we shared in that lesson that God is not necessarily moved by need. Think about it. If God was moved by need, there wouldn't be any need. It's not need that moves God, but faith will. Faith will always get his attention. Last week we looked at 2 principles that we saw, and we studied the accounts of 2 women, one who had an issue of blood, another whose young boy had died. But both of them put one principle of faith into action, and that is faith is released with words. The Shunammite woman, when she was going to get deliverance for her dead son, responded twice, all is well. That was her faith talking. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Her words were telling us where her faith was. So we've seen that faith comes by hearing, and faith is released with words. Now we're going to look at another principle this morning. Turn to Mark chapter 1. And these passages mean so much to me because I've learned so much from them, particularly this particular passage. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time here. We're only going to talk about a few verses, but you're going to see some things that will give you a proper perspective of who God is, how he thinks, and how he does things. Notice Mark chapter 1, verse 40. We'll go to verse 39. Mark 1, 39. Notice this. And he, that's Jesus, preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. Notice verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. Now, here's something that I want you to see. Jesus was known for his ministry of teaching. He was known for his ministry of preaching. And people knew that he cast out devils and healed the sick. But this is early on in his public ministry. And this leper comes to him. Now, we don't know if it was privately We don't know if it was in a public setting. I tend to think it was more of a private setting, or there weren't many people around. And he comes to Jesus, and he kneels to him, and he implores him and said, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, this man knew that Jesus had the ability to change his situation. What he didn't know was whether it was the will of God or not. This man is in the same position as most people in the body of Christ. They know that God is able. They know that He's almighty. They know He's all-powerful. They just don't understand His will. And so it manifests when you hear them pray, "Lord, if it be your will, do such and such." Well, Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, here's something that I want you to see. The word compassion in the Greek, eleo, E-L-E-E-O, is the same word translated mercy. And we've seen several times the Syrian woman, when she came into the house where Jesus was, and Jesus was there not to teach, not to preach, probably to get away, started to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, for my daughter is grievously tormented with a devil." Remember that? And the disciples tried to get her to hush, but she cried out more. What did she cry? "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Same word, mercy and compassion. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus was moved with compassion that day. He's still moved with compassion today. He is always moved with compassion, or moved by compassion. You can interchange those words, mercy, compassion, the same word. So here this man comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, took his hands and put them on that man who had leprosy and said to him, "I will be clean." Now the Bible says immediately. That means instantly. His leprosy went away and he was instantly healed. Now here's what I want you to see. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Too many Christians live in that realm where they don't know the will of God. And so that's why they pray stuff like, "Lord, if it be your will." Well, you need to find out the will of God before you pray. Are you with me? Especially when you're dealing with someone who's sick. I said this one time, and I'll say it again. You know, I've heard people come into critical, dire situations. I've been there. In intensive care. If God doesn't move, somebody's going to die. And I've heard the pastors come in, not from our church, and pray, "Oh God, if it be your will, move and touch brother so-and-so." Well, if you don't know the will of God, get out the room. Don't come in there praying like that. That is unscriptural. You say, "Oh, Brother Young, you're being too harsh." Really, am I? James said this in chapter 5 of his epistle. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And then James said this, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up." Or the prayer according to faith shall save him up, raise him up. Now, he didn't say the prayer according to "if it be your will." Faith begins where the will of God is known. So this man honestly implored Jesus, "I know you can, but I don't know if you will. But if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will be cleansed." He took the "if" out. Amen? Jesus was the will of God manifest in the flesh. And with compassion, he reached out to this man and said, "I will be clean." Now immediately he was healed. Here's something that I want you to see. Notice the next verse. We're looking at verse 41. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I will be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now notice verse 43. "And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to any man, but go your way," remember this expression, "show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now listen to me. Jesus said something to this man that literally caused me problems for years in ministry. I would read these verses, and the Holy Spirit would grab my heart and try to show me something, and I didn't see it for years. I thought, why in the world did Jesus tell a man, "Shh, don't tell anybody"? That used to bother me. I had problems with that in my mind. Because most of my friends, if they had anything even resembling a miracle, would tell everybody. And I've often said this, most people that I know, if they had somebody, a leper, instantly healed when they laid hands on him, would drag that poor man to every meeting they preached for the next 5 years. And before they got up to preach and wax eloquent, they would say, "Before I minister today, I want you to hear the testimony from Brother Jim Bob, who was healed under my ministry." You with me? Am I telling the truth or not? And the Lord finally revealed this to me one day. He said, "You know, that's why we don't have many instant, powerful manifestations of the Holy Ghost in some areas. Because our motive is wrong." Jesus didn't care about what people thought about him. He cared more about the man than he did his rep. I'll say that again, and I'll make it in English so you can understand. Jesus cared more about the man than he did his reputation. You with me? And so that's why he straightly charged him and said, "Don't tell anybody. But," notice this, "go your way, show yourself to the priest." Now, what does that have to do with anything? Under the law of Moses, when a leper was healed in Israel, he was instructed by the law to go to the high priest and submit himself to a physical examination. Because lepers were not permitted to be a part of normal society. They were separate. Why were they separate? Because leprosy was and is, to a certain degree, contagious. And so whenever they were in a public setting and anybody approached them, they were required by the law to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." In other words, "Hey, you don't want to get too close to me. Are you with me?" And so that's why you always see lepers outside the camp. You with me? Or separate, or afar off, or crying out from a distance. And so here this man is instantly healed, and Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest." The priest would give them a physical. And if he found that the leprosy was indeed cured or healed, then after they offered a sacrifice, they were allowed to re-enter society. No longer had to cry out, "Unclean." No longer had to identify themselves as having this dreaded disease. Now, the sacrifice was very interesting. They were required by the law to bring an offering of 2 turtle doves. And in those offering, or in that offering, you found this is what took place. 1 turtle dove was slain, and his blood was poured into a basin, a type of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, we're delivered by his blood. The other turtle dove was dipped in the blood of that first turtle dove, and was taken outside and was set free. Well, a type of us who've been washed in the blood and delivered. Amen? And so Jesus said, "Shh, don't tell anybody. But I want you to fulfill your duties under the law of Moses. Go get your physical. Go make your offering." But I want to show you what this man did. Notice this. This is very critical, very important. Verse 45. "But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." Now, this man, now I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm just telling you what he did. Jesus said, "Shh, don't tell anybody, but go fulfill your obligations under the law. Show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifice." This guy went out and was so grateful and was so thankful. He told everybody he could find. He published it wherever he could. He preached it at every given opportunity. This man caused Jesus a problem. Because of this man, Jesus could no more openly in public go out because people would hunt him down. They came from everywhere. Why? Because of this man. One man's testimony changed the ministry of Jesus and made it difficult for him to show up in a public place. Every time he'd show up in a public place, there's that guy. There's that guy that healed brother so-and-so. Man, you got anybody sick? Go get him. Go get him. He's here. I'm serious. This guy caused Jesus a problem. So Jesus, now you find, is in many instances staying away from public gatherings. And he's going to these out-of-the-way places. And Eddie, they still found him. They still found him. Now, the key here, it says, and they came to him from every quarter, literally means they came from everywhere. They were coming out of the woodwork, so to speak. This man caused Jesus a problem. Think about it. He couldn't go out anywhere. People were coming from everywhere. Why? One man's testimony. Amen. Now, it tells us something. Your testimony can impact people in a powerful way. And this guy had a testimony. I don't know how bad his leprosy was, but it was bad enough. He was so thankful when he got healed, he ignored what Jesus told him to do. Now, I truly believe he went and fulfilled his duties under the law, but he published it every place he could. Now, this is early on in Jesus' ministry, so that gives us a little more picture about why Jesus did the things that he did. Now, when he told that guy, shh, don't tell anybody, that blew my mind. I couldn't figure that out for years until I read a passage in Matthew chapter 12, and then it referred back to a passage in Isaiah chapter 11, where it says, my servant, whom I have anointed, I will take him by the hand. He will not cry or make his voice heard in the streets, but he will, in essence, minister his life for people. In other words, he wasn't out trying to promote himself. He was just doing the will of God. And he was more interested in people than he was what people thought about him. Can you see that? Now, when you're more concerned about what people think of you than you are people, your priorities are out of line. All right? You should be the last on your agenda. That's not to say you neglect yourself, but you need to think of God first, others second. Amen. You come third. Amen? Amen? That's what compassion does. Notice verse 41. Jesus was moved with compassion. That is a reflection of the nature of God. Compassion is nothing more than the love of God in action. See, we often think that God is just waiting to bust us over the head when we mess up. Your concept of God is all messed up, all right? He is a loving Heavenly Father. He is full of compassion. That's why Jesus came. He loved us so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was just reflecting the nature of His Father. Now, let's pick up on this and build upon this. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. One man's testimony caused Jesus a big problem. But Jesus had to deal with it. Amen? Luke chapter 17. Now, we'll pick up here in verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. Talking about real people, real faith. Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. Now, listen. that should ring true. You should remember something. Jesus told them, go fulfill your priestly duties under the law. In other words, go get your physical. Now think about this. 10 men that stood afar off, they knew it was Jesus, probably across the road or across the street, and they start crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That same word, ilio, compassion. Now, I don't believe that these men spoke Greek. They probably spoke Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, the word for mercy is the same word translated compassion, rachamim. And so they probably cried out in Hebrew, Jesus, Master, have mercy, compassion on us. Notice what Jesus said. Go show yourself to the priests. Now, if you were a Jew under the law, you knew what that meant. In order for you to re-enter society, you got to go see the priest and have him declare you whole and healed. So Jesus is in essence telling them, you're healed. Go get your physical. Now watch this. I'm going to ask Brother Alonzo if you'd come and help me. Alonzo is dressed so spiffily, is that a word, spiffily, this morning, that he's going to be my high priest. All right? Because the high priest had certainly certain garments on them. And Eddie, if you would stand here, Eddie's going to be my Jesus. All right? And so here I am with a bunch of lepers, and we're crying out, Jesus, thou son of, have mercy on us. And Jesus, when he recognized where we were and who we were, just says, go get your physical. Now notice this, they still had leprosy. They didn't look any different. They didn't feel any different. Nothing physically had changed yet. And Jesus is calling things that be not as though they were. You don't go to the priest unless you're healed. Jesus said, go get your physical. And so these men, after hearing that from Jesus, started heading to the high priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Well, there's the pattern. Here's the principle. Faith is acting on God's word. Here's another way to say it. Faith is released with action. Now, if he'd been like a lot of people that we know, when Jesus said, go get your physical, they'd have said, well, heal me first. I can't go like this. I don't feel healed. I don't look healed. I still look sick. I think Jesus would have done exactly what Eddie's doing, smile. And probably would have said, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Faith is acting on God's word. Faith is released with action. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Didn't matter what they looked like. Didn't matter what they felt like. Boy, they turned around and started heading to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Literally, it means he broke away from the pack. Ran back to Jesus. Fell at his feet. And I like this. The scripture says, and with a loud voice, started glorifying God. He got Pentecostal on him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Came back, fell down at Jesus' feet, and he's loud about it. You ever run into folk who get loud about God? Amen. Get loud. Why? Because you're grateful. You're thankful, and you don't care what anybody else thinks about it. You got healed of leprosy, you'd shout too. Amen. See, I grew up, thank you, Eddie, Alonzo, thank you, gentlemen. See, I grew up in the denominational church. We were quiet. We were reserved. We were dignified. And we didn't receive much. You with me? Amen. We were dignified. We had our dignity, had no blessing. But we were dignified. We were dignified to the point we went without the blessing of God. Because nobody taught us these things. We didn't know how faith worked. And the only time we thank God is when we saw something. We only thank God after something took place. Well, faith is acting on God's word. This man was headed to the high priest, but when he saw he was healed, he ran back and got Pentecostal on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to see something. We're in Luke chapter 17. Notice verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Notice this. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Are there not found that returned," notice this, "to give glory to God, save this stranger?" And he said to him, "Get up, go your way." Notice this, "Your faith has made you whole."
Yes. Yes.
This man tapped into something. Now, all 10 of them got healed. But Jesus said something about this 10th man that's a little bit different. He said, "Your faith has made you whole." If you understand leprosy, leprosy is a disease that causes your flesh to literally rot. And on your extremities, especially, it has a devastating impact on your fingers, on your toes, on your ears, on your nose, on your lips. Many times these things just fall off. But Jesus said to this man, "Your faith made you whole." Not only did he get healed, he got back everything he lost. Thanksgiving is a powerful tool. Now, here's one thing that I want you to see that most people miss. Remember what Jesus said. I love the way the Holy Spirit does things. Jesus didn't go through some rigmarole. He didn't break out the anointing oil. He didn't have a prayer line. Nothing wrong with any of those things. We do those things. All he did was look across the street. Said, "Go show yourself to the priest." They knew what that meant. Go get your physical. As they went, they were cleansed. The one man who came back and fell at Jesus' feet, Jesus said, "Where are the 9? There are none that return to give glory to God save this," and he used the word, "alogenes," stranger. That means he wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even under the law. But because he acted on God's word, he still got healed. This man had no obligation under the law of Moses to present himself to the high priest. But when Jesus said, "Go to the priest," he said, "I'm going to." Amen. I'm going to. Now, let me show you this principle from another viewpoint. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. You guys learning anything in this series?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. And this is a great way to summarize this, if you will. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And this is the account of when Jesus had so many people pressing upon him that he decided to teach from a boat because the crowd was so large. And so he borrowed Peter's boat, thrust himself a little way from the land. Everybody sat around the shore, and he taught. And so afterward, after the crowd is dispersed, he returns back to the shore. Notice verse 4 in Luke 5. "Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon," that's Peter, "launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." Now here's what I want you to understand. Jesus had borrowed Peter's boat and had this meeting and taught from the boat. Afterwards he gets back to land and says to Peter, "Let down your nets for a catch." Now, here's one thing you have to realize. Peter was a professional fisherman. That was his craft. In fact, Peter, James, and John were all partners in a fishing business. Many people don't know that. They had more than 3 ships, and they had employees that worked for them. The scripture says servants, but they were hired servants. They paid men to work these boats and to work these nets. Now, here you have Jesus, a man who was known for his teaching, his preaching, his ministry. And you have Peter, who was a professional fisherman. Yet Jesus comes back to the shore and said, "Let down your nets for a catch." Peter said, "Lord, we have toiled all night and we didn't catch a thing." Now, who do you think would know when the best time to fish is? You'd assume Peter, right? He'd just been out there the night before, didn't catch a thing. And that's the problem with too many people. They base God's word on their experience. "Well, last time I did that, it didn't come out too well." Well, I've already done this and it didn't work. But yet when God's word tells you to do something, you need to do it. Amen? Why? Faith is released by action. Faith is acting on God's word. Notice what Peter said. Verse 5. "And Simon answering said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing.'" Notice this. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down," here's where Peter missed it, "the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so much that they both started to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" Now, here's the thing we have to see. Peter partially obeyed the Lord. Jesus said, "Let down your nets," plural, that means more than one, "for a catch." Peter said, "Lord, look, I've been out there all night. We've been sweating, working. Ain't nothing out there. Nevertheless, at your word, because you said it, I'll drop a net." Well, he dropped that net and never had so many fish in that net in his life. So he calls for his partners to come help. They drop their net, pull those fish in, and there were so many fish, both boats started to sink. Peter never caught this many fish in his life in one chance. And he realized, "Lord, I missed it." And so he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord, forgive me, I missed it." Now, here's a summary of what I'm teaching in this lesson today, and you can see it here in this pattern. Faith is acting on God's word. In spite of your experience, in spite of what you know, and in spite of what the experts told you. Peter was the expert, didn't matter. Jesus was speaking the word of God. God's word will always produce when you trust it. Don't miss it by relying on your experience or the word of the experts rather than the word of God. Can you see that? Doesn't mean you fuss and fight with the experts. You just realize that God's word supersedes the word of an expert. Amen. Amen? Doesn't matter what the expert said. If Jesus said, "Drop your nets," I'm going to go borrow a few more, and I'm dropping them all. Are you with me? Amen. Or you can be like Peter and just partially obey. Drop one and miss it. Amen? Faith is released by action. The 10 lepers were healed as they went, as they headed to the high priest. Healing came. Now, Jesus knew that healing belonged to him. But the interesting thing is, the one man who got Pentecostal on Jesus came back with a loud voice and gave thanks. He didn't even qualify to be healed, but he got it anyway because he acted on God's word. Yes. Amen? Amen? This man understood something. Faith is a law. He may not have qualified under the law of Moses, but he qualified under the law of faith. And so if he put the law of faith into motion, he was going to receive his healing. Didn't matter if he could get through the physical door. He wasn't a Jew. He walked through the door of faith, and he got it anyway. And here's another thing that we need to understand. Not only is faith released with action, but thanksgiving is the key to receiving everything that God has for you. Amen? We'll look at that principle next week. Amen? Amen. All right, would you stand with me, please?